Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Howdy, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. Thanks so very much for joining in today. We have a great show for you today. We have a first time on our show, John Michael Capaldi, life coach, expert, and celebrity psychic. So excited to have him on just a little bit. If you missed yesterday's show, we had another great first time guest, Stephen Fales. He created the fantastic one-man show, Confessions of a Mormon Boy. Great week so far, guys. I can't wait to talk to John Michael just a little bit here. Hope you're having a great start to your week. It is going absolutely peachy keen fine here in beautiful Northeast Ohio. We are on a slight warming trend. We had a little snow over the weekend and yesterday, but we're back to rain and warming up all the way to 50s by tomorrow, I think, or Thursday. So it's a beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio. A couple of quick shout outs. I want to give a big shout out to our media sponsor, Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio. He hosted the CyberSocket Awards last night, like a champ as always, with Sean Pyle Lockhart, better known as Brent Corrigan. He's, of course, on his air on his podcast tonight. On the Rocks airs every Tuesday night, just 3 hours after we end our show here at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Pacific Time. Always want to turn in for a little On the Rocks action on Tuesday nights. Also, a good friend of the show, Tony Tripoli, he's heading up to do a couple of gigs in San Francisco. He debuted Fashion Police. He's a co-executive producer along with Melissa Rivers on Fashion Police. They debuted last night because, of course, award season is in town. And a good friend of the show, Margaret Cho, has been on here a couple times. She was on the show with him last night. Got to see that. So big congratulations to Tony. He's going to be with us next Tuesday. Talk all about getting ready for this award season, his recent show down in Puerto Vallarta, and, of course, being in San Francisco this weekend. So looking forward to having Tony back on the show next week. Tonight, of course, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our President, Barack Obama, giving his farewell speech from Chicago. I'll be tuning in, and then on tomorrow's show, of course, every Wednesday now, we're doing Standing on My Soapbox, where I'm being a special co-host with me to talk about the week's events. And tomorrow night's going to be a lot of politics on. We have the final farewell speech of Obama tonight. We have the confirmation hearings of Trump's cabinet going on today and tomorrow. We have Trump doing his first news conference tomorrow afternoon. And we'll be on it tomorrow night, standing on our soapbox, talking all about that and everything else in LGBT news and pop culture tomorrow. So I hope you'll tune in at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow for Standing on My Soapbox with my special co-host, who I'm not going to announce because we're working on a special deal because I didn't have anyone planned, and I have a special guest in mind. So that is going to be tomorrow night. If you guys didn't see today, I love me watching me a little James Corden. We talked about it on last week, Standing on My Soap Opera, when I had Virginia Anzengruber on here talking about some of our favorite late night habits. And I record James Corden every night for the Late Late Show on CBS. Only watch probably 2 to 3 a week, to be honest, for the ones I really want to see with guests I really like. But Neil Patrick Harris and James had a riff-off last night that absolutely cracked me up. I thought it was hilarious. It was a Broadway riff-off. I'm going to play a little long clip for it now. It's a long clip, but it's worth it if you're a Broadway fan like I am. This is Neil Patrick Harris and James Corden of The Late Late Show doing a little Broadway riff-off from last night's Late Late Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, since moving to America, I've noticed that a lot of big companies use acronyms for their names. Like, for example, Geico, their name actually stands
for... Hey, Corden, General... over here.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
What are you doing here? The talk segment's not until after the commercial. I'm about to start doing a brilliant bit of comedy about acronyms. So,
Your silly jokes can wait, Corden. We have a score to settle, and it's about Broadway.
So, what are you talking about, Neil?
I see you going around hosting the Tonys. Acting like you're the only TV star who can sing Broadway show tunes. Some of us, dude, have actually won a Tony.
Right. Yes, some of us have. I've also won a Tony Award myself, so.
Yeah, for a non-singing role. Burn.
Right. So what do you want, Neil? What do you want?
You know what I want to do, James Corden.
Hang on, if I'm reading between the lines correctly, it seems to me like what you want is a Broadway musical riff-off. Is that what you're asking for?
That's exactly what I want.
No, stop it, we can't.
Why?
We cannot have a proper riff-off.
Why?
Because the Philharmonic aren't here to sing the backup with us, so I'm sorry. We're going to have to go back to the room.
Aren't they, though?
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Didn't think to mention that you'd be coming down to the show.
No,
right. Sorry.
Well, you've all worn the same outfit tonight, so that's embarrassing. You sure you want to do this, Harris?
Yeah.
Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah, James Patrick Corden.
Well, my middle name isn't Patrick, it's Kimberly, so you look stupid. Sure you're ready for this?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I'm ready for this.
Then let's.
Good comeback.
1, 2, 1, 2. For the people are fencing out.
Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Some people are fencing out. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. Or the devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, you're rocking the boat. All the people are fencing out. Sit down, you're rocking the boat.
You'll be swell, you'll be great, gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here, starting now, Corden, everything's coming up. Roses for me, not for you.
Okay, well, clearly we can both sing the classics.
Yeah, one of us can.
Broadway ain't nothing unless you can belt out a heartbreaking ballad, okay? Okay?
A heartbreaking ballad, really?
Yeah.
All right, well,
yeah.
Get ready to shed a tear.
Oh, I'm ready.
Or three.
1, 2, 3, 4. Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive, being alive, being alive.
without me, his world will go on turning. A world that's full of happiness that I have never known.
That was pretty. But you know what? Being a Broadway star isn't all about being pretty, is it? It's also about being sexy.
Sexy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sexy? You want to see? You want to see sexy?
I'd love to see you
this
try.
This. The f*** did you just say?
I think we all heard that.
Right. Okay. You want to see sexy? I'll get you sexy right now. Hit it, boys.
Come on, babe. Why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz. Start the car. I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold and the piano. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl and all. That
I got a sweet tooth for licorice drops and jelly rolls. Hey, sugar daddy, Hansel needs some sugar in his bowl. I lay out fine china on the linen and polish up the chrome. If you got some sugar for me, sugar daddy, bring it home.
Okay, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you've done it. You've beat me.
Yeah.
What am I even doing? You got me thinking maybe I should just give up on musical theatre entirely.
What? James, wait, you can't.
No, I'm a complete fraud,
you're
Neil.
Not.
No, I am. As long as you're around, I should just stop singing show tunes.
Listen, look at us all, acting really hard right here. What if we did a song together?
Together, come on. Come on, you can't throw in the towel. You can't throw away your shot. One, two, three, four.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
Hey, I'm dressed like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot.
No, I am not throwing away my shot. No, I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, I'm dressed like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot.
I'm past patiently waiting, I'm passionately snatching every expectation, every action's a knack of creation.
I'm laughing in the face of casualties and sorrow for the first time, I'm thinking past tomorrow.
And I am not throwing away my shot.
No, I am not throwing away my shot.
Hey, I'm dressed like my country, I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
We're gonna rise up.
It's time to take a shot.
Rise up.
Time to take a shot.
Rise up, rise up.
Come on back, everybody!
And we are back. That was Neil Patrick Harris and James Corden last night doing a Broadway riff-off. I just love the little Hamilton in there, Gypsy. We had Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Les Mis, lots of fun stuff there. So, yeah, always fun to watch old James Corden in late-night TV. But, guys, let's get right to the show. My guest today has been called the sexy psychic, the do-it-yourself lifestyler, and is a renowned psychic to the stars and life coach who's worked with not only celebrities, but star athletes, Fortune 500 executives, and of course, people just like you and me. I've been a fan of his blog and appearances on everything from Today's Show to co-hosting with our good buddy Alexander over on UBN Radio. I'm so excited to welcome to the show today. Please say hello to John Michael Capaldi. John Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate to be on the show. You know, we have to support our community.
There you go. It's always fun. I love seeing you. I learned about you from Alexander. I don't have the alcohol here since we're long distance in two separate states, but raise a glass if you have one. What the heck, right?
Well, the night I was with Alexander, I will tell you, I was not drinking.
Were you drinking too?
I was just having a glass of water. I actually had to work later on that night, so alcohol does not work with my gifts at the same time.
Oh, okay. I see. Very good. Well, that shows a lot of self-control on your point, because I know Alex keeps it flowing pretty freely over there. I have gone to a couple of his show tapings.
Uh-huh. they have a fantastic time. Alexander has a great show.
He does. He has such a fun show, and he's been so good to me. He finds me. He's the one that gave me your email, and he's found such great guests for the show, and he's so much fun. I love listening to him every Tuesday night, and he's been a great supporter for my show from the very beginning. So it was a lot of fun. I was on UBN for about 6 months, and I was doing call-in because I'm been banished to Northeast Ohio here. I lived in L.A. I'm opposite of most celebrities. I born and raised in California, stayed there for 26 years, and now I've been banished to Northeast Ohio. So I'm doing it all backwards.
What took you to Ohio?
My parents actually, they came to visit. I was actually living in Oregon for 4 years before I moved here. I moved up to Oregon for a restaurant job. I've been in restaurant management for a long time, most of my life. And my parents had moved back here. My dad grew up in the area I'm at now. My mom was from Indiana. And where my grandparents, we'd all met in California, or that's where my parents met in Southern California. They both moved there when they were kids. They met in high school there and married after high school and had me and my two brothers. And then my dad's parents decided to retire back here. When they passed away 15, 20 years ago, they inherited the house. And so they were kind of living both places for a while and decided they wanted to retire here in Ohio. So I had, but like I said, working in Oregon and came back to visit and just decided to stay because I'm weird. But it's been nice.
Been to Ohio. The people are there in Columbus are wonderful. They're nice. They're sweet. And there's some amazing restaurants in that little city.
It really is. Columbus, I guess, used to be like the number 3 LGBT hotspot in the country. Now it's still like number 8. While there, it was right behind New York and San Francisco. It's just a great LGBT community. It's a great city, like you said, for restaurants. I have a lot of good friends there. This show is simulcast. There's a True FM Online is an internet radio station based out of Columbus, and they simulcast a show. So we have a lot of Columbus listeners out there, to tell you the truth. So it's kind of fun.
That's fantastic. Well, I wish I could remember the name of the restaurant I went to in Columbus. They served these meatballs that were the size of my fist in a little cast iron pan. And I remember I kept going back there every time I could, the 3 or 4 weeks I was back there working. That place was amazing. I could eat these meatballs all day long.
How fun. And the good thing about Columbus is it's probably still there. Unlike New York, where the restaurants change about every 6 months from location to location, most things in Columbus kind of stay there. So there probably is there. That sounds amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. And the people were wonderful. And I became friends with one of the managers. Matter of fact, before I left, I performed the wedding ceremony between the manager and his girlfriend, who was a couple of, you know, who they were had been a couple for like 6 years.
That is so, I love hearing stories like that. That's my three really main areas of interest on my show. For the Left of Straight show, I do entertainment, foodies, and books. So I have a whole separate segment on foodies that I do a lot of. I just love finding things like that and stories like that. And I've had people from the Food Network on, and food brings us together in so many ways. So I love stories like that.
Well, you know, I was raised Italian, and I have a lot of friends who are that whole Mediterranean culture. We believe food is love, and love is food. So when you love someone, you cook for them. When you love the people around you, you share your food. Food is love.
I agree 100%. And that is huge in the Italian community. I've heard that from many of my Italian guests, and that is so true. And I've always been a big guy, so I don't use an excuse, but I enjoy my food. I love just thinking about it and just the care that goes into it. And like you said, food really is love. So I think that's awesome.
It is. And I used to be a big guy. And, you know, I've learned how to manage that, because in LA, you've got to do TV. You got to look good when you're on camera. So I do do that, but it's fantastic. At one time I was 400 pounds and I got myself into shape over about 3 years and really worked
on
it.
Well, we're going to have to talk, because I know you do coaching and things like that. And that's where I'm at now. That's why I keep having the voice for radio, and I don't want to be on UBN and get my face shown all the time, because I really am comfortable here on my couch in Northeast Ohio. But I think you're right. I think you need to be in the entertainment business fully. You kind of got to accept the lifestyle a little bit. So I'm coming out to LA in April. We may have to have a session together.
Well, let's have a session. Let's go get something delicious to eat.
That would be amazing.
And I'll show you how to eat amazing food and yet not put on a ton of weight.
Loving you, John Michael. You are my new best friend. Great. We'll meet Alexander at home. Alexander can have the empty calories there. I'm going to take him and his mama Rose out for dinner, but you and I are going to make a date of it. That'll be amazing. Thank you.
It'll be fantastic. And we'll bring Alexander out. We'll all go dancing somewhere and have vodka. Vodka's not terrible.
That will work.
Vodka's not terrible.
You can
do it with Diet Coke.
You're going to have to tag along with us all week, because I told Alexander I want to go to a thoroughly gay Sunday brunch the Sunday I'm there. So you'll have to teach me how to eat well on Sunday brunch as well.
Well, it's so very, very easy. Once you learn the simple little tricks, the weight just, like, it's no longer a situation. It just falls off your body.
Nice. All right, well, let's make this all about you now. Let's talk about the beginning here.
Oh.
Now, I understand from your history.
I'm so used to taking care of everybody. That's my thing. I just automatically
go into
helping people.
I know. Well, this is about you. I need everyone to kind of grasp what you're all about, and so we can all be following you and learning all these great things. Now, from what I understand, your mom was very interested in numerology, and she kind of knew really early on about your talent, kind of helped you explore and accept and nurture it. Tell us about that. How did you first get these gifts?
Well, my entire family, my grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, they all had, like, my great-great-grandmother was born on, she was born on Halloween, and she believed that's how she got her psychic gifts. I just think they're hereditary. I think we're all psychic. It just depends on the degree and how we're raised and how we're matured and how we're supported. You know, nurturing someone in their gifts helps them grow. So my mother and father both realized I was psychic. Both of them had their own gifts. And my mother was a devout Catholic. So she would read the lives of the saints. And she'd say, see how this saint does this? It tells the saint can tell the future. This one can transport itself. This can do this. And, well, as my mother read these things, I went like, oh, so my gifts are basically, I'm supposed to be a saint, I guess. So for some reason in my head, I ended up in the seminary for several years. Attempting to become a Roman Catholic priest and realizing that wasn't the way I needed to go, but I always had these gifts. I mean, I've been doing radio and radio shows with friends for years. I started doing radio 35 years ago. I had my own show for about 10 with Clear Channel in Arizona.
Right.
And so I love radio. It's one of my favorite mediums. And,
yeah,
you know,
I thought that was
so
interesting
all day long.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, talk about that, because I thought it was interesting. You also trained to be an opera singer. along with your theology and your philosophy in the seminary, that's an interesting kind of roundabout way there. That makes you a well-rounded person, my friend.
Well, I've always attempted to be a gentleman and be rounded in everything I learned, because my degree is in philosophy, theology, psychology, and history. You know, I went to some really good colleges, and opera was one of my passions. I was 8 years old. My mother took me to the Los Angeles Opera, and I saw there's a woman named Marilyn Horne and Robert Merrill who were singing in Carmen, and she was just so amazing on stage. And the voice was, they just felt the words just moved me.
Wow.
And there's nothing quite like hearing opera live and in person with someone who can actually sing it, who's actually good, and fell in love with it at that moment. And learned when I was in high school that I could sing. Oddly enough, I knew I could sing around the house, but I walked into, it was a junior play to do a musical called Bye Bye Birdie. And I hadn't sung in years. And I walked in and opened my mouth. The only songs I knew were from church. And opened my mouth and said, okay, we're giving you this role. And I went like, okay, I haven't done a play in my entire life. And okay, I from then on, I was in a theater group in high school. Didn't know that's where I belonged. And ended up in the choir and ended up getting a scholarship to go to the University of Arizona to sing opera.
Very cool. Now,
but
on a side note, are you excited that NBC's next live show is going to be Bye Bye Birdie next year? This year now?
I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. But now I am.
It was announced during the Hairspray show that they are doing their live show next year will be Bye Bye Birdie. You never forget your first, right?
Oh, my God, I love that. Oh, my God, I love that. You know, I got to tell you that a girlfriend of mine just finished doing a movie what's his name? He was in Bye Bye Birdie, the movie. I can't think of his name. Dick Van Dyke.
There you go.
She's been doing a movie with Dick Van Dyke, and I went down to hang out with her while she was doing the movie and met him. And I actually said to you, you know, my first play I ever did in high school was Bye Bye Birdie. And I did it because I played your part, and I love you. You're amazing. And I was like, he was so nice and so genuine.
I don't think my knees would hold me up if I met Dick Van Dyke. That is crazy. Oh, my goodness.
You're from LA. You should be okay with meeting famous people. They're everywhere. My neighborhood.
I was sitting next to
Jerry Bruckheimer having at Mel's Diner over here on Sunset the other day.
I know a lot of people, but I still get started. I just am so amazed. It's something that I never did that I always want to do. So it's always been like a secret. It's like a secret society that I felt like I was just out of. And so I just am in awe of the talent of it. I have a lot of people. My cousin was a director, and I lived there for a long time. My dad almost ran over Suzanne Plachette one time in the sidewalk. So I have lots of close star encounters.
mine are a little bit closer than yours. Yeah, I will say that. A lot of them are my clients. But as a child, I grew up in this world. My father was in construction. He built pools here in California.
Okay.
So it wasn't uncommon for my father to build a pool for Dean Martin. And I remember when one of his sons was madly in love with my sister, my older sister, who was beautiful. And
nice.
There was, you know, and this is common, and playing with my Tonka trucks at our dining, in our kitchen table, we had this glass kitchen table, and I was running my Tonka truck up and down the legs of, you know, John Ford and John Wayne. And he was talking to my dad about building some construction thing they needed for a new movie they were doing out in the middle of the desert.
You know? Oh, how cool is that?
This is just childhood. And I didn't even think to myself, I'd watch a movie and go like, oh, that's my dad's friend. I didn't realize, I was too young to put John Wayne together or John Ford together. You know, like, oh, these are these people. Okay.
I got to tell you, speaking of construction, it's really funny. My cousin, who also, like I said, he's a director. He directed mostly commercials, but he did the construction thing too in his part-time. I mean, he was a part-time worker actor and director, and of course he had to have a real job too on occasion. And so he was a contractor, and he did a lot of work for a lot of stars, Michael Keaton, all these people. Well, he ended up putting in a bathroom for Rob Reiner. And when Rob Reiner went to film When Harry Met Sally in New York, my cousin house sat at his house. So of course he had a party there, and I went over there, and we got to see home movies of Rob Reiner with people like Billy Crystal, Steve Martin. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. It was just crazy, but it was so much fun.
Well, they're all friends. You know, it's interesting because it all depends on your generations of who you knew, where you came up, but it's not uncommon for my client list has got names that people know. And
right.
I've always been very professional. I don't share my clients who they are, where they're from. You know, the minute they become my client, I stop talking about them. If they've got a friend ahead, you know, I can still say, oh, hey, I was hanging out with my friend so-and-so, but I won't.
Well, that's one of the things that I really admire about you, too. And like I said, when I've seen you on different shows, and you don't kiss and tell, so to speak, on your clients. And I think, like you said, you've had everyone from Fortune 500 to celebrities to athletes. But I think that's really cool because you see so much today, it's really turning commercialized. I'd kind of like to have your hint on it because we have, of course, we have the Long Island psychic. We have that kid now, that young boy that does it in Hollywood now doing these TV shows. And the kid seems to exploit, that's all he seems to do is celebrities, and Long Island will do it on occasion. But it's becoming so commercial now, and I love that you, of course, use your talent for whoever wants it, but you keep all that personal, and that's not for public display. That's awesome.
Well, it isn't, and I don't care if you're famous or you're not famous, what you're doing, what's going on. I'm very private about it. I will tell you, I would have had my own TV show 10 years ago if I would have spilt my guts about about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, there was a very famous, huge something going on here in Los Angeles, and
right.
I was in the middle of it between the in the middle of the whole scandal.
Wow.
And I was the one person who could walk through the scandal because I knew it was going on, but nobody knew who I was. Well, people who were in the know knew who I was, and I stayed out of it. And if I had spilled, I would have had my own show and everything, and I was like, no, I wouldn't tell. Those people are still my clients. And those people still
appreciate
me.
Yeah, that's integrity. I think that's what people are drawn to, integrities and your talent. So that's awesome. I love that.
You know, it's important for that. It's important for them to know that they can trust me. I mean, I'll gossip about my friends. Don't get me wrong. Those days, but that's personal stuff. I won't gossip about my clients. I'll go to the grave. And I think it's my training as a priest. When I was in the seminary,
right.
You know, you take your confessions home to the grave with you. You don't tell. You don't kiss and tell. You don't tell anyone secrets. I'll use a client something from, like, the story so it helps somebody else, but
right.
I never tell their secrets. I'd rather die.
I love that.
You know?
Now, talk about your gifts a little bit, because you have – we always know about the clairvoyant side, which is kind of predicting the future, just getting in contact with people. And, I mean, you have a – pretty famous story. I mean, you predicted Donald Trump being president, from what I heard, which I think is amazing. I want you to tell that story, but talk about what all of your gifts are and how you see things and feel things.
Well, it's funny. I am clairvoyant, which means that I have visions of the past and the future. Clairvoyant is visions. Clairsensual means that I feel other people's feelings. It's like I can physically remove pain out of a person's body for a short period of time, absorb it, transmute it. It's an empathetic thing. I can feel someone if their leg's hurting them, if they've got arthritis. I feel it in my own body when it's nearby. Or I can feel their sadness, or I can feel their anger. That's clairsensual. That means having a clear vision or a clear sense of who they are. Then there's clairaudience, which means I hear things. And clairaudience is kind of like a medium. I can hear a dead person, or I can hear a past something, other conversation they're having. I'm also telepathic, so, you know, there are those occasions where I'm turned on so loud that everything they're saying in their head, I don't actually have to listen to them speak. I'll just know what they're saying.
Oh, okay.
And then there is psychokinetic, which is the tough part of what I do. That's the most difficult energetically. And that's, you know, the part where you've seen people bend spoons, things like that. I use it to move people forward. I don't use it to bend a spoon like I don't want to do something silly. What I want to do is help someone. So I'll use my telekinesis to move energy to, you move a coin across the table. Well, that takes a lot of energy, but you can also help someone move emotionally using telekinesis. And that's a lot better and healthier for someone. I don't use my gifts as tricks. I use them in healing and helping people move forward, move in their lives.
That is awesome. Now, tell me, I don't know if I got this right, and I mean, let me know if I'm wrong, but it seems to me, just from everything I've kind of watching you have and seeing what you do and seeing what others can do, you really use your gifts to kind of enhance your life coaching, because I kind of feel the things you read off others aren't set in stone, but you use that life coaching portion to kind of set them on that path. And now this whole telekinesis thing makes sense to me, kind of setting them on that path. And even though someone is not maybe preordained to go a direction, when you see that, you can tell them why it's smart for them and give them ways. How do you combine your life coaching in with your abilities?
Well, because I can see where it'll outcome. I can see the outcome. There's a lot of times I'll have someone who'll come to me and say, I want to be the next, Britney Spears. And I'll go like, okay, let's talk about it. But I can see their gifts. Yes, they can sing. Yes, they have this, but they don't have the backing. Britney Spears is a very special person who had a special gift, and she had a special aura. There was something very special. People were drawn to her. And I'll look at someone and go like, you know, that isn't your gift. You know, a lot of times I feel bad. You're not going to be the next Britney Spears. But I was working with someone who wanted to be an actress. And, you know, she hasn't quite made it, and she's middle-aged now. But I put her on a path where now she's produced 3 movies and just got a 3-picture deal for 3 more rom-coms.
Fantastic.
She's like, but it went from struggling actress to major producer who just bought this amazing house in Hollywood Hills, and with a fantastic espresso machine, which I had to teach her how to use because, you know, it's coffee.
I love that.
I have a
That's
special
awesome.
Relationship with coffee. And like, okay, you have to learn how to use
it. Oh, you and I are going to get along so good. We're getting along good. I am a coffee fiend. You don't even know.
I have a vein in my left arm that actually, I think the word I should tattoo the word that's right next to that vein that says coffee.
I had to get a bun coffee maker because brewed coffee never made it quick enough. Then I had to get my Keurig for when I didn't have anything in my bun. And then I have my espresso machine for just when I feel like being fancy. And I you and I are going to get along great. I love it. That's so much fun.
Oh, well, you know, I'm Italian, so I'll pull a shot. You know, anytime I'll walk into my machine, just pull it, and I'm like, I get my coffee ground so fine that it's almost powder. And then when I pull a shot, it's just pure deliciousness. And I don't see the craziness of, okay, so I spent $50 a pound for a coffee, but I'm only having that one shot, and that one shot's amazing. With the caramel on the top and the flavor and maybe just a little bit of sweetness, but you know, if you pull it right, it tastes delicious without anything in it.
I love it. Now, go back for 1 second. When you're talking to people like this, do you give the whole 9 yards? You do the good, the bad, the ugly. You only do the positive things.
Yeah.
I've heard of different psychics that do different things. What is your style with your clients?
Well, my style can be a little controversial. I will say that. A lot of times if people are not ready to hear the truth, they're asking, oh, please tell me the truth, tell me the truth. I go, listen, you're good at acting, but you're not great at it. And then I have to be very diplomatic in the way I say it. you know, there are people who have dreams, and you don't want to walk on their dreams, but you have to show them reality. And, you know, I go back to this one person who I worked with recently, and he's desperate to be, I can't think of it like a, I can't think of what it is, like some kind of pop singer, and I'm trying to think of somebody who would fit in his category of who he's a pop singer. Okay. And the thing is what he's really great at is a DJ, and he gets jobs all week long as a DJ, and he gets no jobs at all as a pop singer. And I'm like, listen, you have your career. This career is happening. You're making $200,000 a year as a DJ, and you're willing to give DJ jobs just because you got one job to sing for free somewhere. Now, that let that be your passion, but realize that you are a world-class DJ. And he's got a really great, yeah, I mean, he's got a great following, and his passion is to be a singer. I said, well, you have to see what your passion is, but you also have to see what your reality is.
Right, and so many of talented and non-talented people that have that creative thing have such egos too, and it's kind of hard to walk that line between ego and reality, I think, for a lot of people.
Sometimes I get a little rough. Well, I will tell you, sometimes I've gotten a little rough. I'm saying, like, would you? I will just literally, you've got to stop being stupid. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but wake up, smell the coffee, and look at the reality of what you are and who you are. I mean, you're hiring me to be honest with you, not to lie to you, not to see the truth, you know, not to see to see the truth, not to see your dream, which I would love to support you in your dream if you had the talent to do it and you had the right tools to make it happen. But, you know, not everyone has the same tools.
Right. Now, do you deal primarily one-on-one with people? Like, do you have – like, a lot of us are really apprehensive going into this year with our new president, of course. I'm very political, if you haven't guessed. And it's do you kind of look into that kind of thing as far as world events?
I didn't know you were a Republican. I didn't know you were a staunch Republican.
Yeah, that is me. do you kind of concentrate on world events like that, or do you have any – or do you – primarily go one-on-one with people? What is your
I do a little bit of it all. For instance, I'm going to do a healing session here at a friend's home in the next couple of weeks where I'll have about, I don't know, 10 people in a circle, and I'll work with them individually, talk to them about their health problems because I do medical intuitive work. I work with about 20 doctors worldwide and help them find what's going on, both allopathic and homeopathic, Chinese doctors, and I also work with naturopathic doctors. And I'll help people find their healing and where they are in there. But also, I'll work with groups personally. I used to work a lot with politicians when I was in Arizona, and oddly enough, a lot of the politicians I worked with in Arizona were Republicans.
Yeah.
It's funny because I find more Republican people who are running for politics more interested in the psychic and spiritual world than I have the Democrats who don't hire me as much as Republicans do. I've got about 80%
of
my politicians who hire me are Republicans, and they're liberal Republicans. I would call them I call them rhinos. So they're very
famous for that as well, too, believing in and following that kind of advice. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So I find it fascinating where my liberal friends are. They have a whole different spin on it. And I'm like, OK, I'm good with that. So back to we're talking about politics. You asked me about the whole thing with Donald Trump. Yes, it's kind of a famous little story now. What happened was in 2007, I had a birthday party, and everyone was asking me who's going to be the next president, and I said, Barack Obama. And Barack Obama's going to be our next president. He's going to be the president. It's just that simple. And they all went like, really? Because they're all like, at this point, my birthday's in June. They're thinking Hillary still might have a chance, and going, no, it's Barack Obama. He's going to be president.
Wow.
And that was it. And then someone turned around to me. I had been at a party in New York a few weeks earlier. Someone turned around and said, who's going to be president after that? And I turned around and said, Donald Trump. And I didn't even think twice about it. And that was before he even talked about running. But I'd seen him. I had a vision of him standing behind the presidential seal.
Wow.
Well, I was in New York, and it had not really faded. And I didn't think twice about it after I told this group of friends and a client. And I would say the night of the election, I was getting text messages from her. I'm like, you're right, John Michael. You're right, John Michael. I'm like, right about what? What are you telling me that I'm right about? And I said, here's my phone number. Call me tomorrow morning because, you know, I'd been up all night long. I was, well, the elections were going on. I was in a business meeting at a restaurant until almost 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was wiped clean. I was a client of mine who's trying to open a new restaurant and really working on some amazing new concept. So when I got up in the morning, she called me and said, you're right. And she sent me. She had literally wrote it down, sent me a photograph with the name of that Donald Trump would be the president after Barack Obama, blah, blah, blah. It's literally, and it has the date on it. Like, cool. I had not remembered it, but she had, and a whole group of people were calling me up about it. Like, I didn't think twice about it. You know, you work on what you're doing, and when you're psychic, you have to sometimes just listen to the information as it passes in your head and you move forward with it. You know, you just kind of let it
right.
go. You can't keep it in your head. My life is a constant bombardment of information. I kind of
I
think of
imagine,
my life
right.
as, well, it's like I live in a jigsaw puzzle. So people, like I'm walking around and it's like people are always throwing little jigsaw pieces at me in my head. And then I'm always putting them together to see what's going on with everyone around me.
That's amazing. Now, have you ever had anything come that you were kind of leery of going to a person on? It's like information coming, you know, it's kind of important, but you don't know if this person's open or it might be someone you know or
yeah.
even don't know. And how
yeah.
do you deal with that kind of a situation?
Well, I have a story about that that's pretty horrific. A couple of years ago, I had a client of mine. She wasn't famous or anything. She was just a really good client. Her husband and her three children were all close friends of mine and had been for many, many years. And she was in the hospital. She had had surgery. She'd always had a heart defect. And I walked into the hospital room, and I just couldn't stop crying. I was uncontrolled. I knew she was dying. She had about 6 months to live.
Mm.
And she actually – I was hysterical with tears. I knew it was coming, and I knew it was soon. And her oldest daughter grabbed me, and I had to be removed from the room because she knew that I knew. And
right.
we both knew she was going to go. They said that the surgery went well for her, everything was going to be great for her, but the truth is it wasn't. And they were all very, oh, yeah, she's going to be fantastic, and I knew it, she knew it, it didn't work. It didn't, the process didn't work, and we were going to lose her. But I was so embarrassed by that situation. But that'll happen sometimes, and
right.
she knew it, I knew it, but she didn't want to talk about it, and I didn't want to talk about it. You know, this is someone who had been a very, very close friend for a very, very long time. I was godfather
so hard.
To her youngest son.
Oh, wow. That would
be
so hard.
It was. And this is it just happened to me recently. There was I was around someone who is famous, and when I went to go hang out with her, I started doing the same thing, and I knew again that she was going to go, and she did go, and I just started crying.
Wow!
That's what I know. When I just go into hysterical tears, I know someone's going to pass away, and it's usually the person directly in front of me. And it's uncontrollable.
Wow. That is crazy. Have you had ever anything that have freaked you out? Anything that you're like, there's no way this could be what I'm seeing or anything? And it might even not have been the literal thing, but something that came back and said, oh my God, I did see that. Anything kind of weird freaked you out ever?
Well, let me think about that for a second. Because things that have freaked me out, I mean, I was in a religious order and we were trained to do exorcisms, and some of those things freaked me out. And I've been in some really crazy haunted houses doing, oops, that's one of my dog toys, my puppy. So there's been some haunted places I've been that have freaked me out. I remember one time I was in Wyoming, and I was doing it was an old military base. It was a fort, and it had been destroyed and raided many times, and there had been a lot of murders around there. And it was a very hard place for me to be. It made me very tired. It made me very sad. And no one had been in this fort for, you know, 50 years.
Right.
And then there was a place in northern upstate New York in Oswego where there had been this old fort that was built before the Revolutionary War. And they used to, in the early part of the 20th century, there was a outbreak of the Spanish flu. It killed, what was it, a tenth of the population or a
I know about that. I actually lived in Syracuse for a while and had heard about that. That's crazy.
So
okay.
They had stacked the bodies, because they couldn't bury them fast enough, inside this fort. And there was a hospital for children in there, and there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened in that fort. And that place kind of freaked me out. It still felt sick. It's like I was very bothered by it. Everyone else was nice and warm, and the whole time I was there, I was bundled up in two or three sweaters, my thick pea coat that I have, and scarves and a hat, and they're all like looking at me like, this is summertime. You look like we're in midwinter. I just couldn't get warm. It was so horrible there. So that kind of freaked me out. But nothing really bothers me that much when it comes to the way the world is, you know. I think
now,
people are worried about Trump being president or all this other stuff. I'm not worried about all of this. You know, it all kind of works out in the end.
Right. Now, when you were on Alexander last, you had those ghost hunters on, and you had the girl who goes out, all her chicks, that's the most unpolitically correct way to say it, but her chick ghost busting team. Have you ever wanted to do that for fun and psychic be damned, just kind of go on one of those things and see what happens as you go along on one of their things?
I've actually done lots of ghost hunts. People have hired me. We used to do, there's a place in San Diego. There's this old ship. It's called it's the Star of India. And it's a tour. And you can rent the place out because it's very haunted. And I've done lots of ghost hunts. I've been planning on doing a ghost hunt with a group of clients wanting me to take them around and help them take photographs in, you know, somewhere here in Los Angeles. I'm looking forward to going with Alexander, and I can't think of the other girl's name. I got her information. She was going to do one where she does it's sort of burlesque and ghost hunting mixed together.
Right,
and
I'm
totally in for that. I told her, you do it, I'm there. And I'm bringing
be
friends.
So cool.
Because it's going to be a blast. I'm right there with her. It should be lots and lots of fun.
Well, John Michael, I can't believe we've gone through almost an hour already, and I promise you stick
no.
to that. I know. Can you believe it? Will you give all of my listeners your social media, how they can get a hold of your website and social media and everything?
Well, my website is www.johnmichaelcapaldi.com. My Instagram is John Michael Capaldi. My Facebook is John Michael Capaldi. My email address is johnmichaelcapaldi@gmail.com. My phone number is 424-354-2002. That's for voicemail and for text messaging. And I'll return your phone call as my earliest convenience. And then What else? Let's see. I think my LinkedIn is also John Michael Capaldi. And, I do have a Snapchat, which is JMC for fans. That's JMC, the letter 4, FANS.
I love that. I have not done the Snapchat too much. I'm still getting bigger. I've done almost all social media, but Snapchat. I have it, and I've tried one or two, but it's kind of still a new beast to me. But how fun is that? Will you come back on the show, John Michael? You got to promise to come back sometime.
Anytime you like. I'm here for you. You want to? I'm here for
you.
You can actually
do readings too. If we had people send like an email or a call in, are you able to do readings through email or call in?
Oh, I did it for years. Yes, of course.
We'll have to set that up. That would be fantastic. Have you back maybe after Valentine's Day, because I don't want you to break anyone's hearts before Valentine's Day. We'll let them spend the money instead. Maybe after Valentine's Day,
you know,
we'll get you back.
My best advice for anyone, if you think your boyfriend or girlfriend is cheating on you,
they probably are.
You might actually be right. Yeah. You know,
well, gosh.
Just go with that. And if you have to be concerned that the person you love is cheating on you, you shouldn't be in that relationship anyways.
There you go. Well, I have loved getting to know you. I'm so excited. We're going to have you back regularly. I want you on my soapbox. I want to have you back on Left to Straight doing some readings and then just doing some great stuff. You've been fantastic, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you very much. I appreciate that, Scott. And I will tell you some stories about some fantastic restaurants if you want a few little hints on great places to go hide out at.
We will do that. Stay on the line. We're going to say goodbye to each other. I'm going to play a little song here. We're going to do a little Brian Justin Crumb, my friends from Superfruit, Mitch and Scott, and their take on Katy Perry's. This is the a cappella version of Rise, which I absolutely love. You listen to Left of Straight Show.
Nice.
We're listening and talking to the fantastic John Michael Capaldi. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
I won't justify, oh, you will see me thrive, can write my story, I'm beyond the archetype. Little
that was Mitch and Scott from Superfruit, Brian Justin Crum, and their friend singing Rise, Katy Perry's Rise. Loved that song last year. Guys, it was a great show. Isn't John Michael amazing? I can't wait for him to come back next month and do some readings for you. I think that'll be great. I'll let you know ahead of time so you can send the email in or call in. Make sure to him live. That'll be amazing. Tonight, be sure to listen to Alexander's show on the rocks on UBN Radio Network at 10 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Pacific time, about 4 hours from now. We're doing a 1 hour show today. And then, of course, tomorrow we have Standing on My Soapbox at 5 o'clock, our newest show, which is Voices for Change 2.0, all about mental health and recovery, is on Saturdays at 11 o'clock. And our other new show, Rust Belts and Rainbows, talking about the entertainment scene and what's happening in LGBT life and our allies here in the Northeast Ohio region from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Cleveland, Ohio, and everything in between, my hometown of Youngstown, Akron, and Erie, all sorts of fun stuff. Thanks so much for being part of Left of Straight Radio family. If you're not following us, please follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Left of Straight. That's LeftofStr and the number 8. On Facebook, it's Left of Straight Show for our Facebook page. And Scott Fullerton, you can view my personal page at Scott Fullerton. Be sure to download the free app. You will never miss an episode of anything on Left of Straight Radio. If you go to your iPhone or Android app store, search Left of Straight Radio. That's LeftofStr8 Radio. And you'll get the free app you can download. Never miss a show. And if you want to support the show, please go to Patreon, www.patreon.com, patreon.com/leftofstraight. And you can be a patron to our show and help me keep getting great guests, having better audio and better shows for you all the time, where you can pledge anywhere from $1 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month to help keep this radio show going and keeping me in business here on Left of Straight Radio. I really appreciate it. Thanks again. Have a great week. We will see you tomorrow on Standing on My Soapbox. This is Scott Fullerton for Left of Straight Show right here on Left of Straight Radio. Have a wonderful evening.